Hello everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today we're on lesson 167. This is our idea for the day. There is one life, and that I share with God. There are not different kinds of life, for life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. Life is the one condition in which all that God created share. Like all his thoughts, it has no opposite. There is no death because what God created shares his life. There is no death because an opposite to God does not exist. There is no death because the Father and the Son are one.
In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. You call it death. Yet we have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It is the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. It is the alarm to which you give response of any kind that is not perfect joy. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering and pain, even a little sigh of weariness, a slight discomfort, or the merest frown, acknowledge death. And thus deny you live.
You think that death is of the body, yet it is but an idea, irrelevant to what is seen as physical. A thought is in the mind. It can be then applied where mind directs it, but its origin is where it must be changed if change occurs. Ideas leave not their source. The emphasis this course has placed on that idea is due to its centrality in our attempts to change your mind about yourself. It is the reason you can heal. It is the cause of healing. It is why you cannot die. Its truth established you as one with God.
Death is the thought that you are separate from your Creator. It is the belief conditions change. Emotions alternate because of causes you cannot control. You did not make, and you can never change. It is the fixed belief ideas can leave their source and take on qualities the source does not contain, becoming different from their own origin, apart from it in kind, as well as distance, time, and form.
Death cannot come from life. Ideas remain united to their source. They can extend all that their source contains, and that they can go far beyond themselves, but they cannot give birth to what was never given them. As they are made, so will their making be. As they were born, so will they give birth, and where they came from, there will they return.
The mind can think it sleeps, but that is all. It cannot change what is its waking state. It cannot make a body nor abide within a body. What is alien to the mind does not exist because it has no source. For mind creates all things that are and cannot give them attributes it lacks nor change its own eternal mindful state. It cannot make the physical. What seems to die is but the sign of mind asleep.
The opposite of life can only be another form of life. As such, it can be reconciled with what created it, because it is not opposite in truth. Its form may change. It may appear to be what it is not. Yet mind is mind, awake or sleeping. It is not its opposite in anything created, nor in what it seems to make when it believes it sleeps.
God creates only mind awake. He does not sleep. And his creations cannot share what he gives not, nor make conditions which he does not share with them. The thought of death is not the opposite to thoughts of life. Forever unopposed by opposites of any kind, the thoughts of God remain forever changeless, with the power to extend forever changelessly, but yet within themselves, for they are everywhere.
What seems to be the opposite of life is merely sleeping. When the mind elects to be what it is not, and to assume an alien power which it does not have, a foreign state it cannot enter, or a false condition not within its source, it merely seems to go to sleep a while. It dreams of time, an interval in which what seems to happen never has occurred. The changes wrought are substanceless, and all events are nowhere. When the mind awakes, it but continues as it always was.
Let us today be children of the truth, and not deny our holy heritage. Our life is not as we imagine it. Who changes life because he shuts his eyes, or makes himself what he is not because he sleeps and sees and dreams in opposite to what he is? We will not ask for death in any form today, nor will we let imagined opposites to life abide even an instant where the thought of life eternal has been set by God himself.
His holy home we strive to keep today as he established it and wills it be forever and forever. He is Lord of what we think today, and from his thoughts, which have no opposite, we understand there is one life, and that we share with him, with all creation, with their thoughts as well, whom he created in a unity of life which cannot separate in death and leave the source of life from where it came.
We share our life because we have one source, a source from which perfection comes to us, remaining always in the holy minds which he created perfect. As we were, so are we now, and will forever be. A sleeping mind must waken as it sees its own perfection mirroring the Lord of life so perfectly it fades into what is reflected there. And now it is no more a mere reflection. It becomes the thing reflected and the light which made reflection possible. No vision now is needed, for the wakened mind is one that knows its source, itself, its holiness. Lesson 167, there is one life, and that I share with God. Now this lesson has in it, and I forgot it until we got here today, is the whole what I was talking about yesterday, that we are safe in the mind of God. And ideas leave not their source. So if we're an idea in the mind of God, then we're safe in the mind of God. We didn't leave our source, which is love.
Mm-hmm. And to me, this imagery of where, so you just say we're safe in the mind of God, but then we have this imagery of sleeping, of dreaming. And it reminds me, so the other day you were telling me about a dream you had. Well, it was more of a nightmare. You're like, oh, this was happening and so-and-so was saying this and they were doing that. And the funny thing was, it's like, yeah, I could see them doing that. Like, that's, I heard that.
That was so, yeah, exactly.
I heard your dream. And then I said, that sounds exactly like something they could say. Like, it just was like, whoa, that could have been real. And that's what this dream of separation is like, is it seems so real. And if we were telling it to somebody, we could say, yeah, wow, that seems like that could happen. But then we also know, like you saw, you did wake up and the dream wasn't real. It just seemed so real while you were having it. And it also seemed real to me as you were telling it to me.
You know, that was the funny part. Well, you know, in the Bible, it said that Adam fell into a deep sleep. And it never says that he woke up. And that's what this... Well, that's what this is. We're dreaming. We are separate from that which created us.
Right. And then starting to be separate from each other. So even in that biblical story, taking place in Genesis. So Adam falling asleep, in the very next paragraph or verses, that's when the rib is taken from him and now you have Eve. So now from one person, now there's two. And then obviously from those two people, then there's three, and then on and on. And so we have this whole idea where this separation keeps on happening and it keeps growing. And it's like, oh no, I fell asleep. And then there's this other person now. Then there's Eve. And oh, then she has kids. And it just goes on and on and on. And it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And then when we look at the state of the world, we say, well, can it really get much worse than this? Can it really be that it can even get worse? And I think that creates a lot of anxiety in people.
Well, it's talking here. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering and pain, even a little sigh of weariness, a slight discomfort, or the merest frown, acknowledge death. And then a little bit later here, it says, death is the thought that you are separate from your creator. And you're right. I mean, you know, we have not only, you know, even a little sigh of weariness, but I talk to folks all the time that I'm not even talking our clients. I'm just talking people, my friends and people that I know when I go to a meeting or something, is like the state of the whole world seems to be making everyone weary.
Well, yeah, it's seems to have gone from little sighs of weariness to great sobs of weariness.
And that's where those of us who are studying something like A Course in Miracles, or we're starting to understand that what we see in the physical out there isn't who we truly are. And the more of us who do this and do our healing work and come to recognize that there really is only love, and there isn't this duality in truth. You know, we were talking about the other day. In truth, that's how we wake up as a sonship. That's how we walk one another home, as Ram Dass says. That is how we recover and remember, so that the Course says, you know, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. We're just kind of watching the replay of how it was when we said yesterday we had a tiny mad idea. What would it be like to be separate from God? This is what it would be like to be separate from love. We're watching this play out. And yet what it says here in this lesson, we never left. We really never left our home. Let us today be children of the truth, and not deny our holy heritage. You know, we are safe in the mind of our Creator. And what seems to be the opposite of life is merely sleeping. When the mind elects to be what it is not and to assume an alien power, which it does not have, a foreign state it cannot enter, or a false condition not within its source, it merely seems to go to sleep a while. Mm-hmm. And just like yesterday, I do have to acknowledge, it sure seems real.
Yeah. Yeah. This reminds me, so this is like a personal story, where on some of like my really hard times in life, and I had no tools whatsoever to deal with them. I didn't even know there were tools. and I'm not talking about hammer and screwdriver tools. I'm talking about communication tools and boundaries tools, and even
the Course of Miracles is a tool.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I didn't have any of those. I didn't know they even existed. And I felt so on my own. It's like I didn't know what to do. And so the only thing I really thought to do was literally run away.
I remember that, yes.
Literally run away. And so I, you know, packed my bag, got in my car.
Didn't tell anyone.
No, because I was running away from my problems. But then I drove for like a number of hours, but then it was just like this feeling in my heart that I really didn't want to run away, but I just didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So I turned around, I came back, still didn't tell anybody. But then,
I mean, I literally just thought you went to school that day.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That was the point.
And I didn't know till years later that you didn't go to school that day, that you ran away.
Yeah.
Didn't you get stopped by a cop?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Are you going too fast?
Yep. Okay. It was more of a speed trap. The speed limit changed and it was like that little gap. That's when I got stopped. But it was like I had no tools, but I also knew I was really leaving my home. Like I had all this stuff going on, but it's like I really didn't want to leave. But then it's like, it was just like I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. But then I also knew where my home was in the end. And I like would get that nagging feeling of like, this isn't really the right answer. This is just the best answer you had that day. Mm-hmm. And that's where think of that story, and as we were reading this lesson today, it was reminding me of that past experience I've had, and that's can be how our experience with God is. Like we don't have any tools, you know. We know there's love, but then we didn't have like we think, okay, well, what if I don't have this love? What do I do then? And then we have this experience of separation. We have no tools to deal with it. We just are doing the best we can. We with whatever we can think up as an ego thought system, as the sonship, we just do what we're doing our best. But we also know that our home is somewhere else. And so we've gone a lot of miles away from home. And the course is our journey of turning around and going back.
That's a really great analogy because, you know, there was something inside of you that knew that running away wasn't the answer.
Right.
And there's something inside of all of us that knows that our experience here in the physical isn't the only thing. There's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where I think so many of us spend so much of our life seeking. And I love the line in the text that says, you know, you seek and seek, and one of these days you're going to just have to say that you're found. And that's kind of like the turning back for you. Mm-hmm. And to say, you know, here I am. Well, I really appreciate you sharing your story. And this is such a deep lesson and a lesson that helps us to feel safe knowing that I'm not just out here floundering. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have run away. I may have, you know, done whatever I've done. And the truth of who I truly am cannot change.
Yeah.
So happy practicing lesson 167. There is one life. And that I share with God.
See you tomorrow.